Okay, next I want to talk about what I call other risk factors that you would put into an estimate of default costs or into pricing a mortgage. So the primary risk factors that we pay attention to are the down payment and then the house price scenario. So we talked about simulating house prices under a bunch of scenarios. And then if you have a loan with a 5% down payment, that's going to default in a certain number of those scenarios. With a 20% down payment, it'll default in many fewer scenarios and so on. Anyway, so you simulate house prices, you calculate the number of defaults, you estimate the cost for default, and you arrive at a value for expected default costs. And let's say you do that for some benchmark mortgage with a given credit score, loan purpose, loan type, and documentation type. Then you can take these other factors and say, well, under these scenarios, if let's say a 20% down payment loan with a 740 FICO score, that's a loan purpose for purchase. A loan type is a 30-year fixed rate and no reduced doc, so we'll call that full documentation. Suppose we call that our benchmark loan. And then we can say, well, suppose we varied one of these other factors. We do the stochastic simulation to vary the in the house price scenario, and we can see what happens if we change from a 20% down payment to 10% or 5%. But suppose we want to vary any one of these other factors, then we can look at historical data. We can say, in given scenarios, what happened to, let's say, a 680 FICO score, all other things being equal, relative to a 740 FICO score, and let's say that that it defaults at a rate of 1.4 times the rate on the 740 FICO score. So what that would mean you would do is, let's say your expected default costs on this benchmark loan was, let's say, 10 basis points. And then if you say, well, right, if the only thing we vary is we go to a 680 FICO score, and we think that has a multiple of default of 1.4 times, then we would say there's 14 basis points of risk in the loan with the 680 FICO score. So that would be the general method of adjustment. I'm not saying that these ratios are accurate historical ratios. You'd have to look at data on that, but that would be the general method of adjustment. You would adjust for credit score, because you can observe different default rates at different credit scores. And then the next thing is loan purpose, because the purposes there are sort of purchase and owner-occupied is the safest. Somebody's buying the house and they're going to occupy it, and there actually is something called occupancy fraud, that is, where someone says they're going to occupy, but in fact they intend to rent. And that's actually higher. So that's actually a form of fraud, very common form of fraud, unfortunately. But the safest is if they're going to purchase and occupy. And then you have another relatively safe is a no cash out refinance, or what's called the rate and term refinance. We've talked about that. A no cash out refinance, again, for owner-occupied, is relatively safe. Other purposes would be purchase non-owner-occupied. And non-owner-occupied means that you're going to be renting it, you're speculating, it's for an investment. And when it's for an investment, the default is going to be more ruthless, because it's not just an issue of, whoa, I have to move out, I have to give up my home, I have to change schools. It's just a matter of, okay, I lost money on the property, I want to get out of it. So the defaults are going to be more ruthless on speculative or investment purchases. Second homes is another example. A second home, as opposed to a first home, is going to have a higher propensity to default for a given house price scenario and down payment. So again, the important thing is that this loan purpose makes a difference in terms of propensity to default. The loan type, typically the 30-year fixed rate would have the lowest default rate. Then the other things would be adjustable rate mortgages, various types of mortgages that have slower amortization or negative amortization. We heard in the mortgage crisis about the so-called payment option ARM, where you could pay whatever you felt like for a while, and if it wasn't enough to amortize the loan, then the loan balance would just get higher. So all those loan types are riskier than the 30-year fixed rate, or the 15-year fixed rate is even less risky. So the basic issues there are amortization. That is the loan balance going to be systematically reduced, or could it actually go up? And then what's called payment shock, because an adjustable rate mortgage, the rate could go up and the borrower's monthly payment could go up, and that, other things equal, is going to increase the risk of default. Although, keep in mind that if you have payment shock, but your house price has gone up, you're more likely to just sell the house and take your profit than to hand the house over to the lender. So, even when there's payment shock in a rising house price scenario, it's typically not something that the lender has to worry about. But because we're worried about default in a falling house price scenario, a loan that has the potential for payment shock is higher risk, so we have to adjust for that. And finally, reduced documentation means that the borrower is not necessarily proving that they've got the income that they're stating on their application. They're not necessarily proving that they have the assets stated in their application. They're not necessarily proving that they have the employer that they claim to be working for on their application. So reduced documentation has some risk that the quality of the borrower is less than what you anticipate. And I think more importantly, you're kind of selecting against somebody who's more conscientious, because the type of person who's willing and able to produce this kind of documentation is a conscientious person who's likely to be more careful about how they manage their finances and who's more likely to keep current on a mortgage. So there's kind of a selection problem with reduced documentation. I'm not sure the documentation per se is what makes the loan risky or not, but the selecting borrowers who are less conscientious through by advertising this reduced documentation, I think, is the problem with reduced documentation loan. But regardless, you will see higher default rates on these types of loans. And you hear the term subprime mortgage, and I don't think it's all that well defined relative to things like credit score, loan purpose, documentation, and so on. And I think the loan purpose is probably one that people don't pay quite as much attention to. And I think while I'm mentioning it, one of the most dangerous loan purposes is cash out refinance. Because there are two reasons. One is the borrower is telling you they need cash. For whatever reason, they are not living within their means, and that's a bad signal already. And the second thing is that the appraisal then becomes very important. As I've mentioned before, when I purchase a house, I've got the incentive to purchase it at a low price, the lowest price I can get it, which means a reasonable market price. When I'm getting a cash out refi, I don't, the incentive is to get it appraised for an above market value, because the higher the appraisal value, the more cash I can take out. And so the value observed that we get for the house is less trustworthy in the case of a cash out refi. So cash out refi is the most dangerous of the loan purposes. And I think I will just stop there.